Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Melcor REIT fourth quarter and year-end 2016 conference call. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Ms. Naomi Stefura, Chief Financial Officer of Melcor REIT. Please go ahead, Ms. Stefura.
Thank you, Veronica. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining our conference call and webcast for the fourth quarter and full year of 2016. On the call with me this morning is Darren Rayburn, Chief Executive Officer of the Melcor REIT. If you have not reviewed the materials related to this call, including the management's discussion and analysis and the financial statements, they are available on the Investor Relations section of our website at melcorreit.ca and on sedar.com. Our goal is to keep our remarks to a brief, high-level review of the year and then open up the call for your questions. Before turning it over to Darren to discuss our results, I have a few mandatory statements to make. First, certain statements made during this call may be forward-looking. For a complete discussion of items that may cause actual results to differ, please refer to the business environment and risk section of our annual management discussions and analysis. Second, we report our financial results in Canadian dollars and in accordance with IFRS. We supplement our financial reporting with non-standard measures, including funds from operations, adjusted funds from operations, and net operating income. We believe these measures are important in evaluating our performance, but caution listeners that they may not be comparable to similar measures presented by other companies. These non-standard measures are defined and reconciled in our management discussion and analysis. I will now walk everyone through some of the financial highlights of our results for the year ended December 31, 2016. Our portfolio performed consistently, with growth of 1% for rental revenue and 2% for net operating income compared to 2015. This growth was driven by modest portfolio growth in late 2015 and the densification of a retail site in 2016. Our operating margin also FFO and AFFO increased by 1% and 3% respectively compared to 2015. Per unit amounts also grew by 1% for FFO and 3% for AFFO. We continue to capitalize on opportunities to finance our properties and to create liquidity on our balance sheet. We reduced our weighted average interest rate by 17 basis points over 2015 as a result of mortgage refinancings and a Class C LP unit extension. With our credit facility, we remain well-positioned to take advantage of opportunities as they arise. I will now turn the call over to Darren, who will speak to our portfolio's operations and performance.
Thank you, Naomi. Congratulations to our Melcor REIT team for a solid quarter and a strong performance in 2016, despite the economic headwinds in some of the markets where we operate. 2016 delivered its challenges, which our team met head-on through understanding and responding to market demands, and their ongoing commitment to building strong relationships and delivering exceptional customer care. The market has been challenging over the past 2 years, yet our income and results have remained stable and consistent. Since our initial public offering in 2013, we've grown our REIT significantly by 67% in asset value, by 68% in revenue, and by 77% in gross leasable area. Our focus throughout 2016 was on the present, existing tenants, existing assets, and existing stakeholders. By ensuring that these fundamentals were well taken care of, we delivered stable results in all key operating metrics. Allow me to repeat some of the financial highlights Naomi touched on. Rental revenue grew 1% over 2015. Net operating income grew 2%, and our AFFO grew 3%. Our steady results in 2016 demonstrate the sustainability of our model and the strength and resiliency of our portfolio. One thing is certain in these turbulent times of market volatility and uncertainty, nothing speaks louder than performance. Last year, we committed to continue to execute on our business plan, and we have. The strength of our portfolio is in our people and the relationships they build with our clients, our commitment to providing unrivaled customer care, and our history with our assets and within our markets. We know and understand our assets, our clients, and the nuances of the markets where we operate. The concerns the softening economy was projected to have on operations of Western Canadian-based real estate companies has not happened at the REIT. This is largely due to the way we have carefully designed our portfolio over the years to be well-diversified in tenant mix, geography, and in asset class. Our tenants include a diversified mix of national, regional, and local businesses operating in a variety of industries. This diversified tenant base helps mitigate our exposure to negative trends occurring in any one particular sector. Our portfolio is purposefully shaped to mitigate and to benefit from the cyclical nature of Alberta and Western Canadian economies. A strategic imperative throughout 2016 has been maintaining occupancy, and our year-end portfolio occupancy reported 92.4%. We successfully completed over 256,000 square feet of new and renewals on expiring tenant space by December 31st, 2016. Our portfolio-wide weighted average base rents increased to $15.73 per square foot. Tenant satisfaction with our assets, our service level, and our people is paramount to our ongoing success. Throughout 2016, we continued to improve our best-in-class customer care program and build strong relationships with our clients. We surveyed several office buildings, providing important feedback on areas that we need to improve on, as well as a benchmark of our performance. We're proud of what the surveys told us. 94% of our respondents rated our property management team as good, very good, or excellent, and 95% of our responses rated our building operations team as good, very good, or excellent. We view these metrics as an important indicator of our commitment to ongoing client care, which contributes to tenant satisfaction and ultimately tenant retention. Congratulations to our team for their efforts and for their dedication to our clients. Our continued stable results are the outcome of our strategy of building a diversified portfolio of quality assets and focusing on the fundamentals of our business, including looking after our tenants, executing our leasing strategy, improving operating efficiency, and investing in our assets. Our pedigree and the 94 years of Melcor Development's history, culture, and experience with changing economic and political landscapes makes up an important part of who the Melcor REIT is and why we are unique. Today, there are many positive factors that will continue to shape our growth and our future. We believe the continued focus on real estate fundamentals will result in maximum return for our unitholder over time. In October, November, December 2016, we made distributions of 5.6 cents per trust unit per month for a year-end payout ratio of 78%. This compares to our 2014 payout ratio of 89% and 2015 payout ratio of 80%. At 78%, the REIT's payout ratio is a strong indicator of overall health and the REIT's ability to sustain distributions at current rates. Our working capital position remains healthy, and we continue to collect receivables in a timely manner. Funds available under our revolving credit facility at December 31, 2016 provided the REIT with the capacity to respond to market demands and investment opportunities while maintaining and sustaining operational and capital requirements. The REIT is focused on real estate fundamentals of asset enhancement and property management while conservatively managing our debt. With our strong history and diversified portfolio, our focus on property management, customer care, and relationships, our strong balance sheet, solid governance by our mainly independent board of trustees, and the right of first offer to purchase from a solid pipeline of assets being developed by Melcor Development, the Melcor REIT remains well positioned for the future. We see the mood improving across business community, and the outlook, especially in Edmonton, seems more buoyant than it did at the outset of 2016. However, we are not content to rest on what we did in the past. 2017 will not be without its challenges, but we will keep moving forward with the business as usual mindset, while being mindful of current economic challenges. We continue to seek opportunities to improve all elements of our business, from maintenance programs to tenant interactions. We are continuing to monitor macroeconomic factors and plan for any potential impact to our business. We continue to look for opportunities to build and strengthen our portfolio via acquisition and densification. We continue to focus on the details and ensure that we have the right mix of property and clients. We will continue to focus on providing our customers the best service so that when it comes time to renew, we remain their landlord of choice. The close of 2016 marked a two-year stretch of one of the most difficult business environments I've ever experienced in my 25 years in the industry. And in spite of this, the Melcor REIT continues to perform. We continue to see good leasing activity and have not seen a significant slowdown in interest or in our near-term ability to renew and sign new leases. With the new downtown office inventory coming online in the next few years in Edmonton and Calgary, we are continuing to proactively renew leases and seek out new tenants for existing vacancies. We are committed to prudent financial stewardship to ensure maximum value to our unit holders. At the end of the day, as I mentioned earlier, nothing speaks louder than performance. The Melcor REIT will continue to perform for our unit holders. Frankly, this type of market volatility we're experiencing is not new to us. These headwinds are not foreign to us, and in fact, as Albertans, this volatility is something we've come to expect. It's part of doing business in Alberta. It's part of our DNA. It's how Melcor Developments has successfully built the company and prospered for 94 years. This experience will shape how the Melcor REIT will continue to perform for our unit holders. We're now happy to take your questions. Veronica, can you please open up the phone line?
Thank you, Mr. Rayburn. We will now take questions from the telephone line. If you have a question and you're using a speakerphone, please lift your handset before making your selection. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If at any time you wish to cancel your question, please press the pound sign. Please press star 1 at this time if you have a question. There will be a brief pause while the participants register for questions. Thank you for your patience. The first question is from Mr. Kyle Stanley from National Bank. Please go ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning, Kyle.
I was just wondering if you could give us a little bit of an update on what the opportunity is for further densification within your existing portfolio.
Sure, Kyle. Generally speaking, there's one site we've talked about before. We have a project in North Edmonton called White Oak Square.
Right.
There's a two-acre multi-development site at the rear, right beside a superstore next to a seniors home. We're pursuing a rezoning on that right now and see an opportunity to densify that site.
Okay.
Beyond that, we have some retail power centers with some existing densification. So you'll read in the MD&A that in 2016 we added 7,700 square feet. That's in project in Spruce Grove, Alberta, where we put a Cal Tire in. So we're looking at other opportunities as well. But beyond that, we do not have any significant densification opportunities.
Okay, great. And then I'm wondering, could you remind us of the size of the acquisition pipeline available to the REIT through Melcor Developments?
Well, Kyle, I mean, that's a Melcor Developments question.
Okay.
This is a Melcor REIT call. But having said that, we know that Melcor Developments has about 600 acres of commercially zoned land that's available for development over the next 5 to 15 years.
Okay.
Potential on that land is anywhere from 7 million and up square feet, depending on the densification they can get on that land.
Okay, perfect. And then just for the last one, I'm just wondering how the leasing activity for the 2017 expires is going and kind of what you're seeing or expecting in terms of leasing spreads for the year.
Sure. So whenever I get asked a question about leasing, I have to break down our portfolio a little bit because, you know, clearly Edmonton and Calgary are different than Kelowna and Regina.
Right.
And Lethbridge as it stands right now. But I can tell you, generally speaking, we are already over a third of the way through our expiries for new commitments for tenants. And considering we're spending the first quarter, I'm pretty proud of that.
Right.
In Edmonton, there is still activity. Now, clearly, the large glut of vacant space is coming, and it's getting harder to do deals. So to answer your question about leasing spreads, I can tell you that we're maintaining our spreads in all markets, with the exception of downtown Edmonton. Those spreads right now, we're seeing a request for higher tenant inducements and rents dropping on $15 rents, sort of $1 to $2 maximum.
Okay, that makes sense. I think that's it, so I'll turn it back. Thanks very much.
Thanks for the questions, Kyle.
Thank you. The next question is from Dean Wilkinson from CIBC. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Morning.
Hey, Dean.
Maybe just a question for Naomi. On the straight-line rent dropped a fair bit in the quarter, is Q4 representative of what you think the 2017 run rate quarterly should be?
No, I don't think so. I think there were some anomalies in the Q4. We had some straight-line rent adjustments or some free rent periods that fell off in the quarter.
Okay.
And that sort of created an anomaly of a larger than usual straight-line rent.
So it should come back up to more what Q2, Q3 look like as you turn the corner? Okay.
Yeah. The bigger problem is we don't often budget for what the free rent periods going forward would be because until the lease negotiations happen, we don't know how those are going to fall out. And so, I can't say that with certainty, but I would expect it to normalize.
Okay, that sounds good. And then have you bumped up the necessity of having to put more TIs in so that the amortization of TIs is going to go up, or is that likely going to be sort of in that $800,000 a quarter number as well?
So, Dean, last year we took the normalization from 9% to 10% with the TIs and CapEx.
Yep.
We've reduced on a budgeting some of our CapEx plan spending for 2017. So while we haven't taken anything beyond the 10% right now for CapEx and TIs, we're monitoring it on a quarter-by-quarter basis. Again, it's really only downtown Edmonton where we're seeing some of the requirements for your TIs. And just to put it in perspective for you, Dean, and for everyone on the call, for the Melcor REIT portfolio in downtown Edmonton in 2017, we only have 57,000 square feet of leases expiring. We've already completed just under 40,000 square feet. So in another month, we'll have a pretty good idea of what that TI requirement is down there.
Okay, so it probably won't change all that much then, I would suspect.
Correct.
Okay. So that said, where do you think you end 2017? Obviously, this is a shot in the dark, in terms of your occupancy levels then.
Dean, that's a forward-looking statement you're asking.
Forward. No, it's a shot in the dark.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, we were down less than 1%. We're from 93.6 in 2015 to 93.4 in 2017.
Yeah.
We're already seeing greater success on renewals in 2017 than we did in 16.
Okay.
So, while you can't hold me to this, I would be extremely disappointed if we weren't above the 90% mark.
The trend would suggest that you are going that way.
Correct.
Okay. That's it for me. Thanks, guys. I'll hand it back.
Thanks, Dean.
Thank you. Once again, please press star 1 if you have a question. The next question is from Michael Smith from RBC Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and good morning.
Good morning, Michael.
I just want to make sure I heard correctly. So for the one-third of renewals you've done so far in 2017, with the exception of Edmonton office, you're keeping the spreads are positive?
Generally speaking, yes. I mean, in Lethbridge, the spreads are up. In Regina and Kelowna, spreads are actually up again this year, where we took some vacancies last year. In Calgary, we haven't had a lot of renewals so far, and as you heard, in Edmonton, we're struggling. So generally speaking, yes. The answer to your question is yes.
Okay. And just switching gears, what type of returns are you looking for on densification opportunities you have right now?
It's a hard question, Michael, because, you know, in some cases, our land value, if we put it at market versus cost, is significantly different. Beyond that, you know, from just a developer point of view, it's hard from a REIT perspective to develop without a spread between the cap rate and interest rate. In Alberta, from a development perspective, you know, we'd like to see at least 2 to 2.5 point spread between our interest rate and our cap rate returns. It feels now, though, with construction costs, we expect them to come down a lot quicker, and they haven't. So our return expectations are a bit higher, which I think from a Melcor REIT perspective is why we're not talking about pipes in the ground yet. We're just talking about sites getting designed for it.
Okay.
Did that answer your question, Michael?
Yeah, it does. Thank you. Yeah. And then just finally, you talked about challenges in, 2017 won't be without challenges. What do you see as the major challenges for this year?
Well, growth. Not organic growth. We'll work on our organic growth and we'll renew our tenants. But as you heard in my comment, I mean, we're a REIT designed for growth. So, you know, we've grown our asset base by value by 67% since 2013 as part of our DNA. There are opportunities out there, and you've heard some of the opportunities. We've turned over a lot of rocks, but there's still a disconnect between buyer and seller. And, you know, the challenge we have is at an $8.30 unit price and an 8% yield, you know, for me to buy a 5.2% retail grocery-anchored shopping center cap rate, the spreads just don't work for us. So a challenge will be finding accretive opportunities that will fit in our REIT. And beyond that, again, the other challenge, which everyone talks about, and it's the elephant in the room, so I need to mention it, is the 1.5 million square feet of vacancy coming in downtown Edmonton over the next 18 months.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, with the disconnect in terms of, you know, how prices are, what are your thoughts on capital recycling?
Interesting. My board asked me the same question, my board of trustees. So it's something we as a matter of process every quarter do what we call a scrub of our assets and go through and see if there's opportunities to capital recycle. Because we are diversified enough in enough little markets like Lethbridge and Regina and Kelowna, the Melcor REIT does have some opportunities to capital recycle. So that's my vague way of telling you to stay tuned.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, that's it for me. Thank you.
Thanks, Michael.
Thank you. The next question is from Darren Rayburn, from Jenny Ma, from Canaccord Genuity. Please go ahead.
Thanks.
Veronica, you scared me for a second there.
I have multiple personalities, apparently. So I wanted to ask about the same asset NOI. Was there anything in Q4 that was sort of a one-time recurring in nature for the big drop?
Well, if you look at the revenue, our revenue was virtually the same. You know, I think we were 1% off. So what the NOI drop was, again, the straight-line rent that Naomi talked about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Was on that. You know, base revenue was only down about $64,000 in the fourth quarter. So we also had some net recoveries. And although we ended up at 92.4% at the year-end, throughout the fourth quarter, we didn't maintain that 92. We were down a bit beforehand, so there's a bit of slippage there.
Oh, okay. Would you happen to know what the average occupancy may have been for the quarter then?
Our recovery ratio we used was just under 90%.
Okay.
So, as a matter of fact, I think the number is 88%, but you know, we were using just under 90%. And then, of course, finished the year above that at 92.5%.
So, sorry, to be clear, the average occupancy for the quarter was roughly 88%?
Correct.
Okay.
So
okay.
Recovery ratio?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was 88% for Q4, just under 90. I think it was 88.6 or something.
Oh, okay, okay. That makes more sense. And then just a little further on potential acquisition opportunities out there. I know the unit price is a limiting factor, but given that we're 2.5 years into an Alberta downturn, are you starting to see any signs of distress that may present opportunity to you? Because you know some of the smaller markets well. Are there any opportunities there that could make sense mathematically for you guys?
Starting to see some of it. Again, you know, Jenny, I mean, thanks for bringing that up because, you know, part of our culture and how we grew our portfolio prior to the REIT was buying in these markets, buying distressed assets. The difference between now and, say, 2004 or 2008 is we're finding some of these smaller buildings that are owned by a syndicate or owned by individuals. Back in 2004, 2008, they were financed at 10%. They lose a tenant, they start to panic. We can go in and buy with cash. Well, today, they're financed at 4%. So there's less of an impetus to try and sort of liquidate. Having said that, as 2017 goes on, Naomi and her team has done such a great job of keeping powder on our books and room on our line of credit. We are searching for those opportunities. So the short answer to your question is we haven't seen anything yet that's caught our eye, but a phone is starting to ring, and the people that we've been tracking who've held assets off for sale the last year are starting to ask a little more questions. So we would hope by mid-2017 to see more of those opportunities.
Okay, and it might be early days, but are you seeing any sort of a pattern with regards to asset type and or geography?
It's all over the board. You know, people would expect that industrial in Edmonton should be a fire sale because of the price of oil, but what's interesting is there are a lot of owner-users that are trying to do sale leasebacks, but a lot of those rates are so high, you know, the cap rates are so low based on that, we don't see a lot of opportunity in industrial. Retail, especially grocery anchor retail in Western Canada right now, is very strong. Our retail sales in Alberta still lead the nation on a per capita basis. So it's really office. And again, the question is would you buy in downtown Edmonton? You know, Dream listed their stuff, and AIMCO bought a couple of their buildings, and there's some opportunities there too. But outside of that, you know, I don't see it being specific asset-based. I think it's on a one-off basis, Jenny.
Okay, great. That's fantastic color. Thanks. I'll turn it back.
Okay, my pleasure.
Thank you. There are no further questions registered at this time. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Mr. Rayburn.
Well, thank you, everyone, for your time this morning. As I mentioned before, 2017 will not be without its challenges, but be assured, we're prepared and built to weather the storm. Everyone have a great week. Goodbye now.
Thank you. The conference has now ended. Please disconnect your lines at this time. Thank you for your participation.